Is a Porsche powerful?
I'm sorry?
Is a Porsche powerful?
Yes.
Is a Ferrari powerful?
Yes.
What about a Lamborghini?
Yes, Lamborghini. Yes.
How do you put those together?
Each has own.
Okay, so then it's not a problem that it's one or the other. You understand? They can both be powerful and not be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, what about that, what do they call it, that thing that NASA sends up, you know, every now and again?
Space shuttle.
Yeah, the space shuttle. Is that powerful? You understand? So yeah. It's not a problem because power is one of God's opulences. Right? So there's no contradiction because ultimately it all comes from God. So it's God who's powerful. And these are manifestations. Okay? So, this is how it works. Okay? You have the Hare Krishna mantra. It's the original mantra in the spiritual world. The first expansion of the Maha mantra is the Kama Gayatri. Right? And then it expands into many other Gayatris. The last manifestation basically being the Brahma Gayatri. Right? Then, but that's all inside of the spiritual world, right? Then, Omkara from that Brahma Gayatri that penetrates through the material world, right? The covering that comes to the material world, right? Then the Om expands into Burbu Biswa, right? Burbu Biswa into the Gayatri mantra, the Gayatri mantra into the Purusha Shukta. The Purusha Shukta into the Veda. You understand? So here, the first manifestation is Brahma Gayatri. And then in other Upanishads and other places, and that, then we find these other mantras. What we have to understand is in a reflection, it's always upside down. What was the original here comes later here. What comes later in the spiritual comes first on this side. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's the word. So that's why the Maha Mantra is beyond all rules. Gayatris have rules. You're not qualified, you chant them, you get no benefit. The Maha Mantra, you're qualified or not, you get benefit. Because it's the original mantra. Okay?
Many kinds of Gayatris, and so again, those Gayatris which one didn't get specifically from the spiritual master be used in the devotion for prayers.
Why would you want to use them?
For example, if one wants blessings of some certain form of this.
But why Gayatri? If you're not initiated into it, it doesn't work. Why do you want to use it? You know what I'm saying? What's the benefit?
Yeah, but I'm asking if there is any benefit.
You're not initiated into it, so it doesn't work. What would be the benefit? You know what I'm saying? Better you chant prayers, because that anybody can use. That would be a benefit. Why are the prayers special? Because they come from great devotees. So it's the mood of these devotees that's important. Gayatri is a matter of sadhana. And then from that sadhana you get realization. From the prayers, that's more accessible. So then better you offer prayers that are connected with that being. Plus all these mantras, then they contain everything else. Anyway, the guru connects to anything there. Gopal mantra is, you know, dealing with any form of the shunta. So one doesn't have a problem of a deity that one doesn't have a mantra for. Okay. It's just like you want to chant that Gayatri for that deity, but you know what it means.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You know what the Gopal mantra means. So if you don't know what that means, what then you're initiated into it, why would you understand a mantra that you're not initiated into?
Okay. One question in Gayatri, what's the specific meaning of chanting Gayatri while doing offering for deities?
Oh, why? Because you use some mantra as a medium to make the offering. So then the Gayatri mantras are specifically connected with worship of the deities. So that's the mantra that's supposed to be used. Does that make sense? For someone who's second initiated. If you're not, then you use these other mantras. Okay. You know, your classical mantras. You know, to a spiritual master, you know, the Lomar Manya, the Mahamahava, you know, the ones who wrote Chaitanya, the ones who wrote Chaitanya. Same point, because it's through the mantra.
It's always prior to the sentence, even if, although it's maybe not the exactly right sandhya.
But those aren't part of your sadhana. You understand? The Gayatris that you're using in the deity worship aren't your sadhana. The deity worship is your sadhana. So you're already chanting the Gayatris anyway. You understand? These are extra. Does that make sense? Yes,
yeah, or I mean like midday offering usually.
That's there, but that's combined there. Is that the wrong time? Is it the wrong time? Is it the wrong time? 1 hour difference, so what leeway are you giving for this time?
I think it's no difference.
Yeah. Now let's say 4 o'clock offering. That's not a time for chanting Gayatri, so that's an extra mantra. So you might in other words, if it's at the time when you would be chanting your morning, noon, or night Gayatri, then you may be mixed there. Generally, it's not. You could. But if it's at any other time, then you don't worry. It's extra. You understand? Because it's part of your puja. The other is part of your sadhana for you yet. Because at those times, that's when you can focus on it. While here you're focusing on it. Here. There's no difference in the benefit from the chanting. The difference is in establishing a relationship with God. You know what I'm saying? Because technically speaking, initiation means you're serious. Right? Just like you have a boy and a girl, they've been together, they really like each other, they go everywhere and do everything. But when the boy proposes to the girl, then it's considered serious. Right? Then the relationship goes to another level. Otherwise, they'll go on being friends and going out to movies and dinners and this and that. But then it becomes serious. So that's what initiation is. It's that commitment to the relationship with God.
So it doesn't have, there's not official ritual ceremony,
There has to be official acceptance. Oh, if not, no, the point is, for it to be initiation, there has to be that mutual acceptance of each other and a commitment to the relationship. So in that, then that's signified by accepting the name connected with the Lord, that we're servants of the Lord. And that the material world is a place in the three, these kinds of things. There's five aspects, panchasamskaras. So the yajna, you say formalize it, but that's not as it's typically done when you have anybody, but if somehow or another you don't have that opportunity, then it can be accomplished without that. that acceptance. But if it's simply just to have a nice relationship and like that, then that's a sexual relationship. So that's also good. It'll get one very far. But still, there's that element of commitment that one has to see. Is why is it one's not initiated? You know what I'm saying? That's the point. So it's a matter of carrying on, you know, doing the best you can, carrying on, and then you see with time then that may become a necessity. If the present time it's not so important, then you continue following the process. And then with time, then it may seem to be the right thing to do. You know what I'm saying? If now it doesn't, don't worry about it. Continue the process. But the main thing is that we're chanting, we're associating with devotees, you know, taking shots and doing the practice. Like that. That continues, and, you know, with time it will become obvious what we should do.
In the beginning of, like, when you start chanting, especially in the morning, you have very good concentration. So as soon as in the morning when you start, you have, but as the time progresses and like as more lightning comes, then the concentration really goes here and there and doesn't really stay. So how did you really keep the good concentration which was in the beginning till last? Because after a couple of rounds, it really goes, simply doesn't, it's uncontrolled.
Now you're talking about the day or when you're sitting and chanting?
When you sit and chant.
It's just a matter of practice. You know, one will start chanting, one might go, and you bring it back.
But the problem is, you try a couple of times, but then after that, without knowing yourself, your mind takes the control.
Yeah, so it's just practice. You know, like you have a child and they just put them down here and they walk off here, bring them back, they walk off there. It's just, that's what they do. Yeah, but with time they grow up and then they stop doing that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes, it's just a matter of time. Don't worry about it. It happens, so you just keep continuing to try and keep trying. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah. The main thing is keep chanting, keep associating with the body.
And one more question, when the spiritual master is not physically present, or rather, like when he is physically present, you feel a lot of enthusiasm and you feel really secure. But when he is not physically present, I mean, especially my case, I'm working in different places and different countries sometimes. And I don't get association, or sometimes I don't see his photo also. I mean, in the sense, his
you
lecture.
Can't take a photo.
I mean, I have a photo, okay. But in the sense, I don't hear any lecture or something for a couple of weeks. Then I feel a little demotivated, kind of thing. So
the point is by associations with instruction. So the instruction you've got, that's what then you try to apply in your life. He's given instruction, and by contemplation, then you see how to apply them. And then you practice those. So then you're always associating by instruction. See, because bhakti, you know, the form, now and again you can appreciate it because they're there. But vani, it doesn't matter. They're there, not there, you can appreciate it. So that's why that's more important. When you can get the association, you know, direct association, you take advantage. But when that's not there, then you continue that association by following that instruction. Does that make sense? Like that. You know, you can always read like that. If you're not hearing from them, read. You know, hear lecture masters and things like that.
Do we need some kind of qualification to start reading Bhagavatam, or we just start reading Bhagavatam?
Do you need some kind of qualification?
Do we need some kind of...
Do you need a qualification to eat a bowl of sugar?
No.
You have a knife, you have a cutting board. You know the relationship, right? How do you put it? Potato, cutting board, knife? knife potato cutting board, right? You could put the potato cutting knife there, put the potato on top, and then whack the potato with the cutting board. You could do that, right? But why does it work? It works. It's slow because it's basically the opposite of what it should be. So you got it in line, right? You know, but if I take the potato, put the cutting board, and then whack the cutting board with the knife, probably nothing will happen. Right? So, you know what the cutting board does. It supports. It allows cutting to go on without getting damaged, right? It doesn't damage itself. It doesn't damage the knife. You put the potato in between the knife and the cutting board. You use the sharp side of the knife. You apply some pressure. The potato gets cut, right? You use the back of the knife. You have to apply a little bit more pressure, right? And when you hold the knife, you hold the handle. You don't hold the blade. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So all these things are there when they say, oh, you know, Vedic is so technical. But it took a few minutes to describe the potato, the board, and the knife, and the relationship, and actually how you work it, right? So that's all the Veda is telling you when you do Achman. It's that simple. It takes you 7 seconds, but it takes up a whole page. So by practice, something difficult becomes very easy. Right? So now you have that, you get that, because your goal is to get a potato that's cut up. So then you have it. So now, do you push harder than the knife needs to be done? Right? It means how much you need to cut the potato. If you push less, it won't cut. If you push too much, your knife might get stuck in the board. Right? Does that make sense? So you are careful on how you're dealing with the knife. If it's not cutting, then the knife is not sharp. You'll sharpen the knife. Right? Does that make sense? Right. If you keep your finger too close and you get cut, was it the knife's fault? Must be the potato's fault. You know? Well, then if it's not the potato, then at least it has to be the cutting board's fault, right? No, it's your fault. Why? Because you're operating it. Right? So all these things seem so elementary, so simple. Right? So ordinary. Any idiot knows this. Right? Okay. But replace that knife, cutting board, and the potato with a person. And all these same principles that should be applied, we don't. Because a person has feeling, so we go by our feelings, and whatever we feel like, we think that's reality, and that will happen. Does that make sense? This is where the problem comes up. We can deal with dead matter fine, but if the dead matter talks, then we have a problem. But it's the same principle. Who are you? Who's the other person? What's the relationship? So therefore, what's the proper way of dealing? What is the goal of that relationship? So you act in such a way that you get the goal. If you're not getting the goal, it's not their fault, it's your fault. Right? The man is expert at his business. He's so much money. He's expert at driving his car. He's a good, you know, for a hobby. He's a great carpenter. He can make all the furniture in his house. You know, he goes out. He's great at golfing. All these different things he knows. Here's the ball. Here's the little thing like this. You whack it with this iron. It goes down there and falls into the hole. And people go, "Hari ball," right? But he doesn't expect the ball to do it, or the anything else. The thing, he hits it and it goes into the bushes. He doesn't go, "Oh, those stupid bushes. They jumped out and took my ball." He knows I hit it into the bushes. Right? If his car skids off the road, he knows he was driving too fast in the conditions. Right? The business fails, he knows I made a mistake. Right? But when he walks in the door at home, then he's unaware of what his wife's mood is. He thinks it should be this, but it's not, it's that. Just like you think the road should be perfectly smooth, no cars, no rain, and, you know, a truck that went by didn't, you know, drop some sand on the road. But the point is when you get to the corner, it's wet and there's sand and stuff, then you be careful, you'll slow down. Why? Because you're aware. Right? The market changes. You adjust your business because you're aware. Right? You're doing anything. You're riding your bicycle. Anything changes, you're aware. You change it. But the man walks in the door to his house. He thinks his wife should be like this. And if she's not, then it's her fault. You understand? So simple. So simple. But, you know, we just don't accept it. No, because I want it to be like this. So what? If it went by one, everybody would be, you know, a billionaire. Everyone would be, you know, a model on the front of Vogue. You know, everyone would be, you know, it's just you could go on and on and on with the list. Right? But it's not like that. You know how to work, you get a result. You don't know how to work, you get no result. So you don't apply these things into the situation, it won't work. Right? So that means the situation, the different elements, the relationships and all that, that is what has to be applied towards the goal. Does that make sense? You understand that, and that works. So in this, we see is that, any questions on this?
Cultivating new people, especially those kind of people who don't have much contact to our culture, and they basically just know you as a person, and you are basically always the one who starts the interaction, and then they respond positively, they take books or rather or something like that, but they never take the first move.
They never take the first move, they don't. That means, what's your point?
So after contacting them, sometimes should...
Means you want to interact with someone else, but you don't know them so well, or they don't know you. Right? Is that what you're saying? You know each other, but they don't interact first. So therefore, if you want to interact with them, you act first. But as soon as you act, you always have to see if your action, what response it gets, what result it gets. Right? Does that make sense? So you contact them, and their response is positive, you continue in that way. If it's negative, you change how you deal it. You know what I'm saying? What are you saying? Just like you're driving. You're driving, you do something, and it starts to give a negative result, you change what you're doing. You figure out what are the options. You know what I'm saying? So that's not a problem. Point is if they don't, they only will respond, then that's fine. You take the first step. You know what I'm saying? But once you take the first step, you see how they respond. How they respond, then you do again. Then how they respond, you do. So that's how it works.
So as long as the response is positive,
As long as the response is positive, then? No, it's not about it. It's a matter of if you deal and they don't respond well, you have to find a different way of dealing. If you need to interact with them. If you don't need to interact with them, then don't. Does that make sense? But if you do need to interact, then you find what works. You know, you try different things. Talk in different ways, talk different subjects, different tones of voice, different kinds of language. Right? That makes sense.
Can you explain how to ascertain goals in the relationship?
How to ascertain goals in the relationship.
Yes. Like, I want others to behave accordingly to
you. You want others to behave accordingly. Okay. You want others to behave in a certain way. But first you have to see is your relationship with them such that they should behave in that way? You're the brahmacharya. You walked into the brahmacharya ashram. You may want everybody to suddenly stand up and start cheering and whistling, you know, and jumping around and going hari bol, but that may not be actually the relationship. You know, you wash the pots, they're all the book distributors. It may not work that way. You know what I'm saying? And so it's a matter of you have to know what is the relationship, so what can be there, right? Does that make sense? So, you don't expect something that's not going to happen. You had a bad day, so you come back and you expect everyone's going to come up and go, oh, what happened? You know, this and that, work it all out for you. But it may not happen that way. That may not be the relationship you cultivated. Do you do that with them? Do you have that kind of friendship that they're going to interact with you like that? Right? You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to expect, but it's another thing that you actually, that's the relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Maharaj, I have two questions, but in relationship between devotees, are they based on your spiritual relationship, or is there influence of one's material conditioning? And would it, in relationships between devotees, the material conditioning or the previous interests before Krishna consciousness, they become dominating?
Okay, it means, if someone, it means, are the relationships between devotees pure? What do you mean by purely spiritual? What does that mean, purely spiritual?
It's
like just like Brahman, it's just like a light. You come into the room and this other light just gets bigger, like that, you know, something out of like Star Trek or like that.
But it's not based on one's material conditioning.
It's not based on one's material conditioning. So what would it be based on?
The fact that you're a spiritual soul.
The fact that you are a spiritual soul. So how does one spirit soul interact with another spirit soul?
By serving Krishna,
what are you going to serve with?
With the material body.
With the material body, and that's created by?